Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for the things you are doing already. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for great things you're about to do for us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your presence and to draw closer to you. Thank you for the privilege to learn your word and to be led by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the knowledge of your truth that you have given to us. Thank you for how your truths have transformed our lives. You said in your word that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you for making us free through the power of your truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for shining your light into our souls so as to save our souls. Thank you for opening our eyes to see your realities. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the strength you have given to us to go through the 40 days fasting correctly and victoriously. Thank you, Father. We also thank you for the victories you have given to us through these fastings and prayers. Lord, I ask that as we come to you this evening to learn from you, minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, give us more understanding of your word and of your personality. In Jesus' name, help us to listen attentively and not get distracted. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you're going to do more than we have asked. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. We're moving to the next topic, which is remain faithful to the truth despite persecution. Remain faithful to the truth despite persecution. That is the topic. Remain faithful to the truth despite persecution. that is, even when you are being persecuted because of the truth, don't compromise. Remain in the truth. In fact, persecution should make you strengthen your stand in the truth. Yeah, because persecution is a confirmation that you are in the truth. When people persecute you, they are confirming that you are actually following the right path. Yeah, they are confirming that you are actually doing the right thing. Yeah, because we know through the scriptures that the people of this world love darkness rather than the light. Yeah, people love darkness rather than the light. People love lies rather than the truth. Yeah, we know that. So if people are persecuting you because of the way you are following the Lord, it's a confirmation that you're in the right path. Because people don't persecute lies. They persecute the truth. Yeah, let us look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You're going to see what Jesus himself said. Yeah, John chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You can see that. So persecution happened because men loved darkness. Men, people, love darkness than light, because their deeds are evil. Yeah, Jesus used a past tense, because he was referring to himself, how he came into the world. A majority of the people did not believe. So, and because of that, heaven condemned that generation. Yeah, the generation that saw Jesus face to face, physically, they were condemned by heaven. Why? Because light came to them, and they chose darkness than the light. They preferred darkness to the light because their deeds were evil. So that generation was condemned. Only few were saved. And even those few, we, you know, we saw how they were seriously persecuted. Yeah. So even the same applies to this present generation. The same thing applies to this present generation. Heaven is condemning this generation as well. Even as heaven condemned the generation that received Jesus physically into their midst, even so, heaven is condemning this present generation. I pray that you will not be condemned by God. In Jesus' name. So even today, the condemnation is right here among God. And what is the condemnation? That men love darkness than the light. That men love lies than the truth. Because their deeds are evil. Yeah. So, we should not, because of the intensity of persecution, stop following the truth. Stop believing the truth. Stop practicing the truth. Yeah. If you do that, you will be condemned together with your persecutors. Heaven will condemn you alongside with your persecutors. Yeah, if you surrender to the pressure coming from people to move you out of the truth, to move you out of the light, if you surrender to that pressure, you shall be condemned. Yeah, God will see you as one of his enemies. Yeah, so I have said it before and I'm saying it again because it's very important to this teaching. God uses persecution to test how much we love him. God uses persecution and tribulation and trials to prove if we love him or not, to prove if we are on his side or on the enemy's side. Yeah, and if you, because of persecution, turn away from the truth, you are proving to heaven that you don't actually belong to God's kingdom. You are proving to heaven that all the Christianity you've been practicing, they are all lies. Yeah. I pray that we will be wise in our decisions and choices at this time. In Jesus' name. Because I've met people who care about their emotions than the truth. They love their emotions and feelings above the truth. Yeah, so anything that doesn't make them to feel good or feel okay, they don't want to embrace that thing. Yeah, even if that thing is the will of God for them to do, even if that thing is the truth, as long as it doesn't make them feel good, they don't want to do it. I pray you are not like that. Yeah, let us move forward. Let us open our Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 51. Psalm 119. Verse 51. It says, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law." Yeah, let us look at it in New Living Translation. Psalm 119. Verse 51. I read, "The proud hold me in utter contempt, but I do not turn away from your instructions." Yeah, so the proud here refer to people who have exalted themselves above God's law. People who have exalted their feelings, their own principles, their own lifestyles above God's instructions. So those are the proud in this place. Yeah. People who consider themselves more important than the Word of God. Those are the proud. Yeah. And here we saw that those people will come against people like us who really love God's law. People like us who really want to do God's will. The people who are proud, they will come against us. Yeah, because we are a threat to them. Yeah, we are a threat to the kind of life they live. Yeah, they usually feel threatened. Yeah, the people in sin usually feel threatened by the people in righteousness. So somehow they feel like we are trying to force them to do what is right. Yeah. And also because they might want to enforce their own evil lifestyle upon us, and we not yielding to such pressure also make them very angry. Yeah, because the people in darkness, they want other people to join them in their wicked ways. Yeah, and if you choose not to, they will hate you. Yeah, and you might be asking, I didn't do anything to this person. I did no wrong thing to this person. Why the hatred? Yeah, I didn't offend this person. Why the hatred? Why the bitterness? Yeah, usually what causes the hatred is because they are not comfortable that you are not joining them in their wicked ways. Yeah, they are always looking for partners in their righteousness. Yeah, these people are always looking for partners. Yeah, people that will join them to sin against God. Yeah, and then my concern is that if the people in darkness are looking for partners to work with in order to practice their righteousness, well, why can't we who are in the light also enforce righteousness? If they are enforcing their righteousness and they want everyone to join them in their wicked ways, why can't we also, who are in the truth, enforce righteousness in every place we find ourselves? Yeah, why can't we also push righteousness forward in everywhere we go? Yeah, because if we just fold hands and we are not preaching the gospel, we are not teaching the truth, enforcing the truth, sooner or later, the people in darkness, they will conquer us. Yeah, so somebody said, any church that is not winning souls is a dead church. See, even so, any believer that is not winning souls is a dead Christian. Yeah, because sooner or later you will be conquered by the enemy. Yeah, so it's a dangerous thing to have the light and to have the truth and to not shine it and not enforce it. It's a dangerous thing. When I say enforce the light, enforce righteousness, I'm not trying to say you should use physical means to force people to believe your Jesus. No, I'm not saying you should you should try to force people to believe in Jesus. And God doesn't force anyone to believe in Him. But what I'm saying is that you should continue to preach Jesus. Yeah. In as much as the people are not telling you to shut up your mouth, like, if they say, I don't want to hear your preaching, get out, fine. Jesus told us to leave those people or leave those places. If they say they don't want to hear, yeah, so you leave them, just continue to pray for them. Yeah. But in the absence of things like that, you're supposed to continue to preach. Yeah, so some years ago, we had Christians that they would visit the houses of unbelievers countless times. Yeah, they don't give up. They would keep visiting the houses of unbelievers. They will go there today, preach. They go again tomorrow, preach. They go again, you know, another day, to the point that they cannot number the number of days they had been preaching to those people. Because they kept on visiting and revisiting and revisiting and revisiting. Yeah, yeah. And then eventually there came one day that they visited and the power of God came down and all the people in that house surrendered their lives to Jesus. Yeah. But they have been visiting for a very long time. Yeah, but today we have Christians who they only visit once or maybe twice and then they stop visiting. The people who started this Christianity, that wasn't the way they did their evangelism. And those people, they never give up. Yeah, so that is how to enforce the gospel, by persistent preaching, persistent teaching of the truth. Yeah, in places. Yeah. I know of some churches today that they no longer enforce the truth the way they usually do, or the way they did some years ago. And some of them will tell you that I did some teachings on repentance and salvation some years ago. If you want to listen, go to the hostel and get the DVD or the CD. Yeah, or go to the ushers and get the book. I wrote a book on salvation some years ago, on repentance, on heaven, on hell. So go to the ushers. Go to the book, the library of the church, and get it or buy one. Yeah, that is wrong. Yeah, the message or the messages of God's kingdom is not something that you stop talking, maybe because you have talked about that some years ago. Yeah, and then maybe you wrote those messages in form of a book, or you recorded it in form of a video or audio, and then you keep telling people, go and get it. Yeah, when you should open your mouth and say it at that time. Yeah, so that attitude is very wrong. Even if you have preached the truth some years ago, that doesn't mean God is not saying the same thing now. And how sure are you that the people you are talking to now, they have not deviated from the truth you told them some years ago? Yeah. And are you referring people to some books, some CDs, some DVDs, or to some website to go and get your messages? It shows how lazy you are as a preacher. Because God wants you to speak the same thing at that point in time with the fresh anointing and the fresh fire He has placed upon you at that point in time. And then you are referring them to the old anointing and the old fire that is in the old message you preached, which many of them will not even go and get the books or go and start, go and get the audios or the videos. Many of them will not go. So God expects that such preachers open their mouths and preach the truth at that point in time. So this is one of the mistakes that many churches are making today. So if you look at their messages and their sermons, you're going to see that they are not really enforcing God's righteousness as they should. As they are not really enforcing the truth as they should. Yeah, because most of the messages focus on other things that are not serious issues of God's kingdom. Yeah, because the serious issues of God's kingdom are issues that pertains to living righteous lives, living holy lives in the sight of God. Those are serious issues. Yeah, and those must be placed first before other messages or other sermons. Yeah, the issue of repentance and salvation and righteous living, holy living, must be placed first above any other messages. Why? Because that is the foundation of God's throne. Yeah. Have you read in your Bible where it says righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne? Maybe I should show you the place. Yeah, righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne. Yeah, so if that is the foundation, I mean, if righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, then that means that is the foundation of heaven. Yeah, Psalm 89 verse 14, let us look at it. Psalm 89 verse 14. Yeah, it says justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Justice and judgment. Yeah. If you look at it in New Living Translation, Psalm 89, verse 14. Psalm 89, verse 14. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Unfailing love and truth walk before you as attendants. Yeah, you can see that. So it says righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. So if we consider other things more important than those two things, we are making great mistakes. Yeah, because God will never change his standard because of anyone. No. He's not going to change his standard because of any man. Yeah. So if you are a Christian or a minister of God, you have to take seriously the issues that pertains to the foundation of God's throne, which are the issues that pertains to righteousness and judgment. Yeah, righteousness and justice. Yeah, I have to take that more seriously than any other message or sermon about God's kingdom. Yeah, so I noticed that many preachers today, they don't take seriously the issues about righteousness and justice. Yeah, they don't take seriously the issues about the foundation of God's throne. Yeah, because that whatever is the foundation of God's throne is the foundation of heaven. That is the foundation upon which God's throne is built, upon which heaven is built, and that is holiness and judgment, righteousness and justice. Yeah, that's the foundation upon which heaven is built. So if you don't also build people on the same foundation, you are a failure as a minister of God. If you don't build people on the same foundation that heaven is built upon, you have failed as a servant of God. Yeah, and your ministry have failed. Yeah, because these preachers, some even said, if you want to hear the truth, go to this particular church. Yeah, if you want to hear messages about righteousness, messages about the fear of God, repentance, salvation. And the man was saying, go to these particular churches. And then was saying, I am not here to preach any message of truth to you. I am just here to work miracles. Yeah, what a shame. Yeah, what a great shame. Run away from such ministers. because they are false. If you love your soul, run away. Yeah. So my point is that let us not fold our hands. Let us enforce what we have, the light that we have. Let us enforce it. The truth that we have, let us enforce it on this generation. Don't wait until the people in darkness are coming to lure you into their evil ways. You go first to lure them into your righteous ways. Yeah, so when they think that you are coming first, they will never think of coming back to you to seduce you or entice you. Yeah. And Jesus said something about shining your light. And let us look at it. I think, is it not Matthew chapter 5. Yeah, it's in Matthew chapter 5. Let me read from verse 13. He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but under a candlestick, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, no one will light a candle and put it under a basket. Everyone will always put a candle on a candlestick, even right there in your house. The bulbs, the electricity bulbs that gives light into your room. You didn't put it somewhere towards the ground. You always put it up where it will be able to brighten the whole environment. Yeah, so if we have the light, why are we hiding the light that we have? Yeah, if we have the salt, why are we not applying the salt that we have? Is it until your salt has lost its savour that you will now apply it? At that point, it's good for nothing. Yeah. Is it until when your light is gone that you now want to shine it? So now is the time to shine the light. I pray you will boldly and fearlessly shine the light that you are and that you have. In Jesus' name. Yeah, the people want to hear about the Jesus you have. Let us look at another scripture. Don't forget, our topic is remain faithful to the truth despite persecution. That's the topic. Remain faithful to the truth despite persecution. Let us look at Psalm 119, verse 86 to 87. Psalm 119, verse 86 to 87. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precept. Yeah, this is a man like you talking to God. Yeah, and this man was saying, the fact that a lot of people are persecuting me doesn't mean your commandments are wrong. Yeah, he said, all thy commandments are faithful. That is, they are true. They are correct. Yeah. So the fact that everyone is the standard of God that you are following doesn't mean you should now be ashamed of following God according to His standard. You know that the truth is bitter. Yeah, the truth is bitter, as people would say. And also the truth is not popular. Yeah. And then the truth have a lot of enemies. Yeah. So the fact that many people out there are against the truth doesn't mean you should be ashamed of following and practicing the truth. In fact, that is where you should practice the truth the more, when it looks like everyone is against the truth that you stand for. That is when you should even practice it the more. Yeah, because presently there is a lot of pressure everywhere. A lot of pressure on social media, on the internet. A lot of pressure in schools, in universities, in colleges, in campuses. A lot of pressure in the marketplaces of this world. A lot of pressure on the streets. A lot of pressure in families, marriages, and homes, against the truth. A lot of pressure against the truth. Yeah, if you are a spiritual believer, you can literally feel that pressure everywhere you go. You can literally feel the pressure of darkness that is, or the force of darkness that is directly against the truth of Jesus or the truth of God's kingdom. Yeah, you can literally feel that pressure. It's everywhere. Yeah. But I don't know why some Christians are now ashamed to publicly represent the truth they stand for, or let me say the truth they claim they stand for. Why should you be ashamed to publicly testify, to publicly demonstrate, to publicly preach the truth and the righteousness you say you stand for? Why should it be a hard thing? Yeah, I pray that you will repent in Jesus' name. Yeah, in that verse 87 of Psalm 119, it says they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precept. They had almost consumed me. Yeah. So this man was talking to God in that passage, refused to leave God's ways, refused to forsake God's commandments and laws, even when they were going to kill him for that. Yeah, he refused to compromise. Have you not compromised? Yeah, because compromise sometimes happens gradually. Yeah, doesn't happen suddenly or doesn't happen at once. Sometimes it happens gradually. Yeah, backsliding sometimes happens gradually. Yeah. So ask yourself, have I not compromised? Yeah. Because if at this point you're already compromising on certain issues of life, yeah, then sooner or later you will not even know when you will completely fall away from your faith in Jesus. Yeah. If you are looking at evil going on around you and you feel comfortable with it, you cannot shout immediately and say, this is wrong. Yeah. Let every one of you doing this stop immediately. You cannot be doing this in my house. Yeah, you cannot be doing this in my environment. Yeah, if you are not doing that, people are doing wrong things, even maybe your children or grandchildren or your friends. They are doing wrong things around you, and you are just comfortable. You are just so comfortable with it. You are not resisting it. You are not confirming your own stand and position concerning that thing. Then that shows that you have compromised, or that shows you are an hypocrite. Yeah, if indeed you have not compromised with evil, you are going to speak out. Yeah, when you see things that are going wrong you're going to speak out. And you're going to warn the people and correct the people. But if you are not doing that, it shows that you have also agreed with such evil that is going on. Yeah. There are some things you're not supposed to be comfortable with on the internet or on your social media platforms. There are things you shouldn't be comfortable with. Some videos, some content, that you shouldn't be comfortable with, or maybe on your satellite TV channels or cable TV channels on your television. There are things you shouldn't be comfortable with if you have not yet compromised. There are things you shouldn't be comfortable with. So which means you should not focus on those things. In fact, when you see such content, such videos or articles or content, you should feel sorry if indeed you have not yet compromised. You should feel sorry and feel sorrowful concerning the people, concerning the people in the content, in the video, and concerning the person that even posted the video. You should feel very sorrowful, or the picture. If you feel very sorrowful and very sorry for them, if you feel pity for them, because you should know that they are wasting away their lives and that they are going to hell. But today, you're going to see Christians watching those content and they'll be smiling and laughing, content on their phones, on their social media platforms, on Facebook, on TikTok, Instagram, all of those platforms, YouTube. So you will see Christians, so-called Christians, watching those content, and they are smiling, and they are laughing, and they are just comfortable. They are just comfortable with such content. Nothing moved them. In fact, some of them will even comment, and some will even press like on a content that is promoting unrighteousness, promoting sin, content promoting nakedness, seduction, sexual immoralities, fornication, and they will be pressing like, and they will be, may God have mercy on our generation. So if you don't feel any discomfort and sorrow when you stumble upon such content, it shows that you have already compromised. I'm going to repeat myself again. If you don't feel any sorrow or discomfort when you stumble upon content on your social media platforms, on the internet, content that doesn't glorify God, content that promotes sin, if you don't feel any sorrow and discomfort, it shows that you have compromised. Yeah. You know, if you don't feel like, if you don't feel sorry for the people in that content and for the people that posted it, if you don't feel sorry for their souls and begin to pray, pray that God save them, then it means you have compromised. If you start laughing and you start getting excited watching such content, it shows that you have compromised. Yeah. So these are how to check where you have actually agreed with darkness. This is how to check. Yeah. This is how to check. I pray for you that God will help you in Jesus' name. Let us look at another scripture. Psalm 119 verse 157. Psalm 119 verse 157. It says, many are my persecutors and mine enemies, yet do I not decline from thy testimonies. You can see, this man said his persecutors and enemies are so many, but even with that, he still did not decline from God's testimonies. Now, testimonies there refers to your preaching. Yeah, testifying about God. Yeah, your preaching about God. Yeah, it's not just about maybe you prayed for a breakthrough and then you got the breakthrough and then you come and testify. Of course, that one also is a testimony, but the one here is talking about your message about God and His kingdom, your preaching, your teaching about God and His kingdom, especially how God have changed your own life through His gospel. Yeah, how the gospel of Jesus have transformed your own life. How it has delivered you from sin and from unrighteousness. Yeah, so God wants us to testify about that. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with testifying about healing miracles, deliverance miracles, and other miracles. Yeah, but the greatest of all testimonies is the testimony of your salvation. Yeah, how God rescued you from pain. That is the greatest testimony. If you don't have a real testimony in that area, you need to go and find that testimony. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. If you do not yet have a genuine testimony concerning your salvation, go and get that testimony. Because when you leave this earth, that it is only that testimony that is going to matter. Yeah, in heaven, no one cares whether you build houses on earth or not. In heaven, they don't care whether you bought cars on earth. They don't care about that. The only testimony that is going to matter in heaven or after death is the testimony of your salvation. So if you don't have that testimony, go and get it before it is too late. And if you once have the testimony and then you have lost it, yeah, because you have backslidden, go back and renew your walk with God. Go back to God and renew your walk with Him. Yeah, revive your salvation testimony if you have already lost it. Yeah, so we need people that will come and speak boldly. People that would say, I was once a fornicator, a drunkard, but then I met with Jesus and my life was transformed and I'm no longer bound by this sin anymore. We need those kind of testimonies. People that would say, I used to be a slave to anger, a slave to pride. Yeah, I used to be a slave to sin, to lust. But then I met Jesus, and now I am free. We need those kinds of testimonies. Yeah, because that is the greatest testimony. Yeah, and in fact, that is how to really preach the gospel. Yeah, whenever I preach or teach, I use my personal testimonies. Yeah, because I realize that every time I use my personal testimony, there is always power that follows my message. Yeah, I let people know that that I probably was a worse sinner than them. Yeah, but I was saved by Jesus. Yeah, and that the salvation is real. Yeah, because if it is not real, I will still be bound by those evil works. Yeah. So, if we cannot really testify about the power of the gospel of Jesus, then whatever testimony we have is not going to take us anywhere. Yeah, you must be able to testify about how the truth from Jesus set you free. You must be able to testify that all the time. I pray that you will have this testimony in Jesus' name. Now, do you know why this testimony is the most powerful? I mean, the testimony of your salvation. Do you know why it is the most powerful? Yeah, why it is the most powerful is because it is the only testimony that the kingdom of darkness cannot duplicate. The testimony of salvation is, or the miracle of salvation is the only miracle that Satan and false prophets cannot duplicate. You see, every other miracles, the kingdom of darkness, they can do the same thing. They might not be able to do it as much as God and his angels will do those operations. Yeah, but I want you to know that many of the miracles that people celebrate today in churches can actually be duplicated by Satan. When I mean duplicated, they can be done also by Satan. Satan might not be able to do it in large numbers, but he can try and he can deceive through those lying wonders. Yeah, but the only miracle he cannot duplicate is the miracle of salvation. Yeah, there's no way he can duplicate that. It's not possible. Yeah, because darkness cannot turn against itself. Yeah, darkness cannot deliver darkness. Yeah, because salvation is light, delivering you from darkness. And there's no way Satan, who is darkness, can also deliver another person from darkness. It's not possible. Yeah, so that is why he cannot fabricate that type of testimony. But the others, he can try. Yeah, he can try. He can prophesy. Satan and his agents, they can prophesy. They can cast out devils. They can speak in tongues. They can heal. In fact, they can even raise the dead. There's a way they do it. Yeah. There's a way they can even raise the dead, even though they do some things, but I don't have time to explain that now. Yeah, so this kind of miracles, the Bible calls it lying wonders. They are not actually original, but they will look very original. Yeah, so Satan knows how to do those type of miracles. Yeah, but there's no way Satan can do a fake salvation. I mean, I don't know if you understand. There's no way Satan can produce the miracle of salvation and make it look very real. It's not possible. Sooner or later, the truth will come out. So if Satan say that he has saved his soul from sin, you'll be surprised that sooner or later the person will be caught committing sin. So there's no way he can fabricate this type of miracle. So that is why Satan doesn't want you to testify about how Jesus transformed your life, how he saved your soul. He doesn't want you to, because he knows the kind of power such testimonies carry. He doesn't want you to testify and tell people that the same Jesus that saved me from sin can also save you from sin. Come to this Jesus. Come and be free. The same Jesus that saved me from a life of hatred, bitterness, anger, can also save you. Come and taste of this Jesus. Satan don't want you to do that, because he knows how powerful your message will be when you testify of what God has done in your own life to save your soul. I pray that you will not keep your mouth shut about your testimony, even your salvation testimony. Now, the last scripture we're going to look at is Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. Revelation, chapter 2, verse 13. I know thy work, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. You can see, Jesus was testifying about this church, the church in Pergamos. Jesus said, he know their works, and that they held fast his name and did not deny his faith. Yeah, even when Satan went ahead to kill some of them, they still did not deny Jesus. In fact, Jesus mentioned it twice. He said, Satan dwells in the same place these people are. Yeah, Jesus said it twice. He said, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Yeah, he said, where Satan dwelleth. So Jesus confirmed that this church, these believers, they are in a location where Satan dwells. So which means there was a very great darkness in the place where those believers were. Yeah, but they still held fast the name of the Lord. They stood firm in the truth. Are you standing firm? Yeah, because today people will quickly say, I'm trying my best, this place I'm living, or the place I'm working, it's so full of high temptations. Yeah, everyone here, they are sinners. Yeah, everyone wants me to join them in their sinful ways. Yeah, and then they would say, I'm trying my best to do what is right. It's not about you trying your best. It's about you doing your best. It's about you standing firm in the truth. So you have no excuse. You have no excuse to sin against God. You have no excuse. You have no excuse, because here, the church in Pergamos, they were situated where Satan dwells, and yet they stood for Jesus, even to the point of death. Yeah. So, if these people could stand for Jesus, then we have no excuse. Yeah, because I don't think Satan is yet dwelling in the place you are staying. Do you know what it means to be in a place where Satan dwells? Yeah, do you know what it means? Yeah, let me give you an example. Have you ever entered into a place that is so full of very strong smell? I mean, very bad smell. You know, those kind of smell that can be very shocking. Yeah, you know, there's a way a place can be smelling so bad that the smell can begin to shock you. You know, to the point that you have to run out of that place. Yeah, that's an example of being in the place where Satan dwells. That is, you are being confronted with Satan face to face every day, 24/7. Yeah, and yet you refuse to leave the place. Yeah. So it's like you are being tempted, persecuted, face to face, every day, every second, every minute. You are being seduced every second, every minute. So you are being provoked every second, every minute. That is the example of staying in the place where Satan dwells. Yeah, so and these believers, they were in a place where Satan dwells, and yet they stood for Christ. Some people will say, I'm staying in America, I'm staying in Europe. I know he is full of all forms of immorality, so that was why I couldn't live a holy life. If you say that and you die and you go to hell or you face judgment, the brethren in Pergamos, they will testify against you. I mean, this church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, they will testify against you. They will say that we saw greater darkness than the one you saw. We faced greater temptations than the one you faced, and we did not deny Jesus. So they will tell you during judgment that you have no excuse. I pray that you will stand firm for Jesus and for the truth. In Jesus' name. We're going to stop here. And I'm going to pray for you and also pray on your water. Now, if you have questions, you can always ask. You can always ask questions on our Telegram platform. Yeah, so I believe you have your water ready. Father, we thank you for your so faithful. Thank you for your grace that is sufficient. Thank you for your mercy that speaks for us all the time. Thank you for the things you have revealed to us from your word this night, this evening. Thank you for showing us that we should remain faithful to the truth, even in the face of persecution. Thank you for showing us that it is possible to live holy and righteously even in the midst of very thick darkness. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here. Help everyone to live for you, to live for your word, to live for your truth, to live for your ways, for your kingdom, continually. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that the grace to be fearless and bold concerning your faith in Jesus, receive the grace right now. In Jesus' name, the grace to boldly and publicly testify about how Jesus saved your soul, and how he has been keeping you standing firm in his light. I pray that you receive that grace right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray on your water that the hand of the Lord touch this water right now. In the name of Jesus, let the power of God that removes problems, whether visible or invisible, sicknesses, diseases, let that power possess this water right now. In the name of Jesus, the power of God that removes demons, the power of God that destroys works of darkness, the power of God that takes away spiritual death and even physical death, let that power possess this water right now. In the name of Jesus, the hand of the Lord shall work great things in your life, even as you drink this water in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.